Welcome to the X-Men Task Podcast. My name is Willie Simpson.
My name is Sonia Rappaport.
And today, Sonia, we have our returning champion special guest, Dash Coombs.
Hey, all right.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Not buttering up the audience with any prolonged introduction. You've been here too much.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's get going. So today, guys, we are talking about Sanctuary Part 1, the 53rd episode overall, maybe. The 6th episode of Season 4, maybe. We've kind of lost count and order since they ripped the show off Hulu. But I'm pretty sure this is next. So
why not?
Yeah. Well,
not?
For us it is, one way or another.
Yes. So this episode we just watched, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was like as good as the X-Men has ever been as a show. Just like intrigue, politics, Magneto.
Sure.
X-Men cameos.
X-Men cameos. Well, Marvel
footage.
Cameos. Right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, reused footage, that always checks a mark in our book.
All the things we like.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Like, this is, again, the deeper we get into the series, the less I've rewatched the episodes mm-hmm. over and over. So, to me, it's kind of like, it's nice, like, seeing them again, almost like the first time, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
So, this episode, it's, like, mainly about the magical place known as Asteroid M, where all your mutant dreams come true. And Asteroid M, I always love Asteroid M as a concept. To me, it's like one of those details about the Marvel Universe that are just great. There's just all these, like, the Marvel Universe is the same as our universe. It has relatively the same history up to a point.
Right.
But there's all these little, like, magical details, like Asteroid M, sprinkled about.
Sure.
And not just Asteroid M, there's like
Castle Von Doom
right.
just existing
yeah.
out there.
Yeah, right, in Latveria.
Yeah.
You know, Wakanda being an example
right,
of a place.
Right, right.
Other things like the dark side of the moon has like weird shit going on
yeah.
in humans. Like I think like other weird details like Thanos was born on one of Saturn's moons, or, like Titan or something. I don't know. Was that Uranus's moon? I don't.
I'm gonna give it a possibly.
Right, but the point is, it's like some real world details like just fudged enough in a sci-fi way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just like the idea that there's a floating asteroid around Earth at like all times, more or less.
Yeah.
That Magneto controls.
Yes,
and
Magneto's bachelor pad.
Yeah.
Is always in orbit.
We'll get to his bachelor pad concept later. But yeah, Asteroid M is great, and you know, should the Disney Marvel thing go through, I'm sure Asteroid M will come into existence. And I can just see it now, just them,
in real life.
Just subtly introducing that concept. Oh, by the way, this whole time there's a fucking asteroid floating
right.
around.
Yeah.
So I'm just always really excited to see Asteroid M, and I love the branding of Asteroid M too.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this while watching it. Like Professor X gave everything an X title
right.
in his world, and it's appropriate that Magneto brands everything with M. And you know, M's a bold letter.
Nice and symmetrical.
Yeah, uh-huh. Of all the letters, M is pretty like up there as like a, you know, powerful letter, I find.
Yeah.
Not as powerful as X, that's way more, has way more cachet.
But. Mm.
Oh, I always thought Asteroid M was for mutant, not for Magneto.
Oh.
I just put that together.
Well, I guess it could be either.
It could be either. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I always assumed it was Magneto, because it's like, it was probably created in an era when they weren't thinking too deeply about comic, like, these details. Like, Asteroid M from Magneto, he's a bad guy, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I think it's probably of that era.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we could say it's Asteroid M from Mutants. We can give Magneto a break from supposed vanity. We don't have... We need not prescribe that to him. Okay, so let's go into this episode. It opens with a typical Russian space disaster,
mm-hmm.
I would say. Like, were you guys paying attention to the first 5 seconds? I was drinking a beer.
And I mean, it was just some Russian cosmonaut, you know, a real, like, sort of blue-collar guy, like, oh boy, I gotta fix this nuclear warhead in space.
Let's talk about that. Cosmonauts, way more funny than American astronauts, just, like, across the board, right? In all forms of media, and just in probably in real life, too. It's way cooler to be a cosmonaut.
Yeah,
a better name, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's the root of it all.
You think that just because they're cosmonauts, it's just way more awesome to be
yes.
one. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, yeah, the Russian Space Agency, may you continue to operate in some function. I know we have problems with your country right now here in America, but the cosmonaut.
But in space, you know, it's all good.
It's always been fun. It's been a blast. So yeah, something's going on with the cosmonauts. There's like some accident. I guess it's our reveal of Asteroid M, you know.
Right.
And the look of Asteroid M I would love too. It's like you said, like a space bachelor pad.
Yeah, it's really groovy.
Some cool it's like a 60s like design with some like greenhouse glass.
Yeah, a lot of bubble domes.
Bubble domes, yeah. Oh, speaking of 60s aesthetic, I don't know if we didn't even talk about this at all, Dash, but do you watch Legion?
No. I don't.
All right. Well, you maybe should get into
it. I'll get out of here.
No, we just watched the season 2 premiere last week, and it was a visual tour de force.
Does it take place in the 60s?
No, but it's it does.
Whoa, man.
Sonya, back me up.
It does not take place in the 60s, but... like, a lot of the aesthetic is borrowed.
It's like this...
very, like, mod
it's like this
style.
Alternate in, like, universe. Clothes.
It's just, like, really beautiful. Ooh, taco break.
Yep, taco break. And we're back from a taco break.
Yum.
We just had some tacos and we watched the first 20 minutes of Legion while we were eating them to show Dash. Thoughts, Dash?
Pretty cool, guys.
Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, wild.
Okay, yeah. So we really liked season 2 of... the season 2 premiere of Legion, right, Sonya?
Yep.
A little weird to talk about it now. I lost whatever train of thought we had to the audience what was only seconds ago. But appropriate for when discussing Legion, perhaps. Jumps in time and...
Asteroid M.
Yes, Asteroid M, right. Very 60s mod feel to it. Appropriate for the X-Men and their various themes of the 1960s, civil rights and whatnot. Leading into this episode, too. Okay, so we saw Asteroid M. Now we cut to what I presume is the United Nations, though from the exterior it didn't quite look like it. Mm-hmm. Could it have been Geneva?
I don't know
either. What's in Geneva that's like the United Nations?
I have no idea.
I know they have like a convention there. All right, never mind. Anyway, let's just say it's the UN.
I think it's the UN.
I think it is, yeah.
Right. We have like... the USA representative who's got Jack Nicholson's voice for some reason. We've got sitting right next to the Russian ambassador and the Free Genosha country ambassador. And they're all arguing over this asteroid and its implications. So, you know, but then, right, as they're in the middle of bickering, as I suppose the UN does, as par for course, Magneto crashes the party, our old pal. I love Magneto. And we finally get to see, you know, I've talked about before how Magneto is a bit defanged in this show. Mm-hmm. He's not the evil Magneto, the classic Magneto that we know from the comics so much. He's more like a anti-hero. Mm-hmm. So here... he's definitely not evil, but he's kind of menacing, which is good to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he's crashing through the UN.
Yeah, he's wrapping iron metal around insubordinates.
Demanding the floor to speak. I mean, it's actually pretty screwed up what he's doing. If he wants to, you know, I get his goals. He wants to establish Asteroid M as this place for humans where they can, not humans, for mutants where they could, like their own country to live in.
Right.
You know, he could have...
Is Asteroid M big enough for that? It doesn't look that big.
Well, it's a big asteroid. We can agree on that, right? All
right.
As far as asteroids go.
I don't know.
Is it as big as the Asteroid M we saw on Pride of the X-Men just last week, you think?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. dumb question. So Magneto, he crashes through the ceiling and he's... it's weird because he really does have good intentions, a noble heart here. He wants to create a safe space for mutants to live and flourish away from the evils of Earth.
Yeah, pretty chill.
Yeah, but it's like, why are you crashing through the ceiling, causing all this damage? And like you said, Dash, like...
he can't help himself.
Yeah.
He's gotta be dramatic. Yeah. He's gotta be himself.
It's a little strange. So, okay, whatever, but he's come with a video essay to sell his point. And his video essay just basically consists of clips from other X-Men episodes we've seen, with yet some more mutant cameos, you know, that we know and love. clips from the Slave Island episode, clips from a lot of like season two Friends of Humanity episodes. Mm-hmm. He's somehow been filming it all or had access to the videotape. Yeah. You know, private moments characters had, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of shots of the Morlocks running around. Mm-hmm. Showing the...
It's his drone army.
His what?
Drone army.
Drone, like, video camera army?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could buy that. as you know, it's always been my dream for an...
I do know.
invisible tape recording drones to fly around Earth and film things. Well, yeah. My dream is really that they travel back in time.
Right, but if you start now, in 50 years, it'll be the same effect.
Right, I agree. So he's been secretly filming things. Interestingly, like, the audience of people watching his, like, live broadcast include Apocalypse.
Right, and Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
Booger Cave.
It's Booger Television. Yeah. He's got, like, a RCA TV suspended from a large, like, booger.
Multi-directional. Four screens.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's watching with the Nasty Boys. Oh, and then we see her, the Rejected Prince cover band.
Mm-hmm.
As we've discussed. And then we also see our old pal Mishnari, Storm's godson from Africa.
Yes.
He's watching, too, in Africa. So, you know, a lot of cameos. Interesting. I guess, you know, when you see Apocalypse and Mr. Sinister watching on TV, I guess it's the writers telling the audience that this is a historic event in the world of X-Men.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, stakes are high. Pay attention, kids at home kind of moment.
Yeah.
Apocalypse
will never forget where he was.
I like the idea that we're watching Magneto, and we're, as the audience, we're like, they're letting us know that we're watching along Apocalypse and Mr. Sinister. We are peers of them.
Right.
So, you know, and lastly but not least, Professor X and the X-Men are watching this too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're quite, Professor X is really upset about this. He does not like Asteroid M. He doesn't see it as a good solution for what's going on Earth. He thinks it's pretty, like, fucked up and crosses a line. Which I don't know if I agree with, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Asteroid M seems like, is it a bad idea? Is it...
I don't know, sounds good to me.
Is it kind of racist or something in a weird way, or...
I don't know.
Well, if they're taking ownership of it...
Right, yeah.
You know, it's their own idea.
It's not like they're being exiled.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they are, in a sense, you know, just...
Is this through, like,
through humans being so mean to them.
Right, yeah. It's like the state of Israel.
Whoa.
It's not.
JK, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. It's like, you know, they are an oppressed group of people. No, you're right. That's, like, actually, like, I think, a, like, strong metaphor for what they're going for, really.
Mm-hmm.
They're a press group, and, you know, Magneto, we know the Holocaust, he's a Jewish character.
Yeah, right.
I mean, not so much in the show, they don't say he's Jewish, but, like, we know he's Jewish, at least based on the movies and the comics, that's kind of retconned in.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, yeah, here's a homeland for an oppressed group of people that have had enough, and they want their own, like, independence, and they want their own military, and they want their own sort of sovereignty. So, right, it's a metaphor for Israel. let's maybe leave it there for now, anyway. So, you know, and Professor X later says that he considers Asteroid M like a floating prison where everyone's like an insect in a jar.
Right.
And I don't know if I, like, agree with that.
Yeah.
It seems pretty fairly spacious.
I mean, they go there of their own free will, no?
Like, what do you mean?
Why is it like a prison?
Yeah, like, why is it like a prison?
Well, it's like a self-imposed prison, I think, is what he means.
But, like, if people choose to go there, they can choose to leave again, no? Like,
well, I don't know how easy it is to leave, because Magneto has to fly you.
Ah.
They don't have, like, door-to-door rocket service.
Well, and I guess also the idea that you're choosing to go sort of into a cell.
Mm.
You know, an isolated, outside of society.
Well,
space.
We got this video game called Surviving Mars.
Okay.
Made by the City Skylines creators, for any PC video game players out there. It's really cool. It's like a semi-realistic sim game where you're trying to build a colony on Mars, and you start with a bunch of drones, and they build up, like, the infrastructure, you know, the power and the oxygen. Mm-hmm. And then you land your colonists at some point in the game, and you put them in a dome that they can never leave. and you have to keep them happy and build them amenities and give them jobs to do. Otherwise, they start committing suicide and killing themselves, you know, or murdering each other. And so it's like when you go to live in outer space, you're not really coming back to Earth. You know, there's no...
But Magneto, flew them there so quickly and easily.
I know.
Going to Mars is, a three-year journey. You know, that's really hard. But
right.
Magneto
Astronyms.
Flew them... It looked like a half-hour journey.
No, you're right. No, I'm just saying that, it's not easy. Magneto seems to be the only conduit for this trip.
Mm.
So...
But the Blackbird can go into outer space, we learned. Maybe they could do it.
Well, there's lots of spaceships that can go into low Earth orbit.
Right.
So they could be rescued.
Call up the cosmonauts.
but my point is, Professor X seems to be the one that thinks that this is, a place of no return.
Mm-hmm.
And a line that has cannot be uncrossed.
Right.
So,
I'm saying I think that thought is misguided.
Okay. That's what I was kind of asking. I don't know how I feel about Astro and M. I feel like... I'm kind of on the... I can see the good and the bad of it.
What do you mean? At the beginning of the show, you just said it was the best thing ever.
Well, that's like a dopey...
I can't wait to go to Asteroid
M. Can't wait for them to show us that.
It's so cool.
Well, I mean, as a dopey kid reading a comic book, it's cool. I like it as a sci-fi concept, but I don't like to put myself on Asteroid
M. The social implications of it are a little too heavy.
Well, I don't know.
Stuff to think about it.
I'm trying to think about it. You guys are just making fun of me. But that's fine. Let's move on. So, for some reason, Gambit is all, interested in Asteroid M, and he's looking up people that are on there, and he sees, one of his friends, named Byron. I forget his last name. I didn't write down, but that's why he's intrigued by it. So Gambit's in the mix in this episode, and then we cut to, Beast. He's, as we speak, retrofitting the Blackbird with Shi'ar technology to make it, a spaceship. Which kind of explains what happened in Pride of the X-Men, which they never explain. The Blackbird just flies into outer space. A lot of weird parallels between that and this. Astro M, Magneto, outer space. I didn't realize that would connect so nicely.
Hmm.
Right, Sones?
All right.
All right. Yeah. I'm just talking about some good podcast karma, maybe. And, Beast says something interesting about the whole situation. He says, we spend more time fighting for our lives and for mutant rights.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, the X-Men mission is to fight for mutant rights, but we see them, and he's right, in episode after episode, they're constantly on the edge of death, fighting off one disaster or another. So, they're a little tired and sick of it. So it's some nice self-awareness from our characters.
Mm-hmm.
Although Beast still seems pretty well-adjusted to life as an X-Man.
Yeah.
Despite the stress. And then, Professor X is talking to President Kelly, as he is wont to do in a private video screen, some nice access. And the stakes are that, there could be nuclear war, which is messed up.
Right.
So, stakes are really high.
Yeah.
And nuclear missiles, a big theme in the X-Men universe, especially with Magneto. They're always coming into play for some reason.
Yeah. They're children of the Atom.
Right. Mm. The first issue of the X-Men, I think it's Magneto's trying to launch nuclear missiles,
mm-hmm.
and the X-Men have to stop him. So appropriate them being included in this narrative, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking to the president, and the president's like, listen, I'll give you 12 hours to fix this. That should be enough time, right?
Yeah,
avert a nuclear war. It's also mentioned that Magneto has missiles, too, on Astro M. I mean, that's the biggest problem, is that I guess it's the ultimate...
He claims they're defensive.
Yeah. So that'll come into play as well. And Beast is like, I'm not bringing the whole... No, not Beast. Professor X is like, I'm not bringing the whole team. It's just me and Beast. We're going alone, because it's a diplomatic mission. And, but then Gambit's like, no, I'm coming too. And they're like, okay, fine.
That's actually, a good choice. Beast is so, smart and well-spoken. I feel like he would be a really good diplomat.
Yeah.
He's,
yeah.
spoken at trials and stuff like that. It's just funny the way he phrases it. He's like, because we don't want to be, mistaken for, overly aggressive or whatever.
Right.
And Beast is, the biggest, bluest, most muscular,
good idea. Let's bring the Beast for a peace mission.
Well, I mean, isn't that the whole theme of the Beauty and the Beast movie?
Yeah.
Is that it's like, the Beast is really a nice guy, so...
No, that's not that story unfolds, but...
Well, anyway, my point, appearances can be deceiving, is the lesson of Beast.
Of Beast, yeah.
Right,
okay.
So, then they go to Africa, weirdly, because I guess that's where Magneto's picking up his next group of refugees. And we get a killer Marvel cameo. The Black Panther is observing over a mountain range somewhere in Africa. I mean, I don't think it's Wakanda. I feel like the mutants of Wakanda are probably have a good deal.
Yeah, they're
not.
Fine.
Yeah, they're not oppressed. You would think that the Wakandan government, you know, is cool with mutants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we later know, Black Panther in the comics ends up marrying Storm, so he's fine with mutants on that level. He's not racist or bigoted in that way.
Yeah, as long as they're foxy.
Right. Well, so many mutants are really foxy.
Yeah, that's true.
There's like only one like kind of ugly mutant, and that's that like orange fur guy that's got glasses
and leech.
He's real nebbishy. Oh yeah, leech. Yeah, most of the Morlocks aren't so good looking. So cool Black Panther cameo, very timely in 2018 standpoint. So the X-Men meet Magneto there. He's kind of like, his conveyance system is interesting. It's like, yeah,
yeah,
you want to describe it?
No, it's just these giant salt and pepper shakers that he's carting around and filling up with mutants
and
to take back to Asteroid M.
Right, using his crackling mutant energy.
Yeah.
I love all the sound effects of Magneto in the show. It's so dramatic,
mm-hmm.
like electricity crackling and just real menacing noises and things and blue lightning flashing
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And I always wonder with Magneto, in the movies, Magneto doesn't really have visual representation of his power. It's invisible because the magnetic field's invisible.
Right.
But do you think, like, this is one of the questions, my classic questions I always ask, are we, as the audience, supposed to see the power, or is it supposed to be technically invisible, and they're just animating it so that we can see it? You know what I'm saying?
I think kids don't know that magnetism is supposed to be invisible, or how it works, or if it is a thing in real life. So,
well, that's but my question that
they have
like
to show it in some way to make it like comprehensible,
right? But is the point even beyond that that his magnetism power so much that it penetrates the visible spectrum, and we see the, like blue bubbles of amazing energy, like
I mean,
you know,
electricity
Tesla coils.
Exists. I mean, yes, obviously electricity exists.
I don't believe electricity exists.
Lightning is like a visible form of like essentially what Magneto has power over, right? So,
is it? Is that what like is lightning related to magnetism?
Well, it's electricity in the sky. I mean, like, but I feel like they're representing his power as like I mean, basically as lightning. No, like.
Is it? No, it's not. It's magnet. It's magnets.
Right.
I mean, magnetic waves and fields he's projecting.
Right.
So I'm just wondering if we're supposed
but
to believe
moving metal through magnetic fields produces electricity.
Okay. All right. I don't know that. I'm not a scientist. I do not remember eighth grade, you know, physics or whatever. So I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Anyway, that's what I feel like you're doing.
So you're saying that there's a chance that, like, it could be visible.
I don't know. Yeah.
Dash, any last thoughts?
I'm out.
Professor Dash. All right, fine.
I gotta go, guys.
All right, whatever. I'm sorry I brought it up. You know, so it seems okay for now. Magneto invites them on the spaceships to... but he says, I gotta make one more stop in Genosha. They
mm-hmm.
blast off. We get a hint that this is really taxing on Magneto's powers.
Right.
That physically, he can't... It's hard for him to lift a lot of stuff. Which is always an interesting question, too, is, like, why, like, what does his physical strength have to do with him, like, manipulating a magnetic field to lift an object?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Magneto, as we can see, is in extremely good shape.
yeah, he's also the master of magnetism.
Right, yeah. So, you know, that's a question that'll have to be answered. And then we see, as they're lifting off, we get another shot of that Black Panther watching them go off. So he does nothing. He's just there.
Yeah.
He has nothing better to do than just to watch. He just wanted to witness this.
Intelligence gathering.
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
But still cool to see him. And it's the Black Panther, not like the modern one that we know from the movies. It's kind of like old school comic one with a black cape floating in the breeze.
Yeah.
It could be not T'Challa. It could be T'Chaka, his father, for all we know. You know, his father from the... If you saw the movie... spoilers, like his dad, we see this like the earlier incarnation of the Black Panther. He's more like the one we see in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has a cape either, but his costume's like a little more old school. So in that line, so maybe it's Black Panther's dad for our 2018 purposes, but probably not. It's probably T'Challa too. Anyway, so then they go to Genosha, which It's weird that, like, Genosha's rebranded itself from the last time we saw it in the cartoon. They're now the free country of Genosha, or the free island nation of Genosha. They're really trying to emphasize freedom, even though they still clearly still have a system of slavery.
Oh, my God, yeah. And all hell breaks loose, right away. Yeah.
It makes you wonder, though, like, the United States and its entire existence was always, like, going on and on about freedom. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the country of the free, and but they had slavery for a long time as well.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty, like, messed up branding for a country to say, yeah, we're the country of the free. Mm-hmm. It's like, never mind our system of slavery. It's like, and then the way, actually, their justification for it is so messed up. They're like, mutant powers are just another resource to be used by the state.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say the same about that. I'm sure it's what, slave-supporting bigots were saying. It's like, these are just natural resource for the white people to use. God command. You know, I don't know. It's some insanity. Mm. So, yeah, the social and cultural lessons they impart upon children in the X-Men show, always running deep, I would say. There's many, many intelligent layering of just subtle, like, you could just look into it deeply. It's a woke show.
Ahead of its time.
No one can accuse the X-Men, the animated series, of not being woke. And right, exactly, ahead of its time in the early 90s. So yeah, they go to the Free Island Nation of Genosha, and like you said, shit, like, it does not go well.
Yeah.
Magneto just lands like he's frickin', you know, Johnny Appleseed. No, that's not a good bet. But he's just like, John Brown's a better historical answer. He's like, axe in his hand, I've come to free, you know, all the slaves. Like a badass. And the Genosian army starts shooting at him with their robots and laser beams. And surprise, surprise, they still got some leftover Sentinels hanging out.
Of course, they're always laying around.
Like, laying around, like, in some sheds that are just easily destroyed once they wake up. It's kind of
more like crouched surreptitiously inside these sheds. They, like, break out of them. Yeah. Fit a whole robot in there.
Very, like, Power Rangers-esque in a weird way.
Yeah. But
at least the way Sonya did it, where she was just extending her arms with clenched fists.
That's what they did.
Yeah, so the Sentinels are there, it's bad news. So all these mutants are fighting. Magneto kind of gets, like, beaten down. Oh, Professor X's wheelchair gets shot. That's right. That crosses the line. Yeah. You shoot a man's wheelchair? That's messed up.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, like,
up.
Yeah. I don't know why you guys are laughing. I've been talking about slavery and civil rights and people with disabilities getting shot
at. Yeah, because, like, all of that is terrible, but, like, shooting Professor X's wheelchair, like, that's where they cross the line.
Well, I'm just saying, why are we having such a good time laughing about this? There's something wrong with us. Magneto's, said, is kind of, like, weakened by all this, and he's kind of an old man, too.
Yeah.
As his shock of silver hair demonstrates, despite how in shape he is. But there's this guy that comes out of nowhere. He's got a whole team of people wearing, like, red V's and purple spandex and cool capes. His name is Fabian Cortez, and his power is to give Magneto, like, a supercharge of energy.
Yeah.
And he gives it to Magneto, and Magneto is able then to easily dispatch all the Sentinels and, like, stop all the humans. And this Fabian guy's like, now you could kill the humans, too! And Magneto's like, I'm not here to... I'm just here to free the mutants, not avenge them. And so Fabian, we get a sense, is, like, he's a little more radical than even Magneto is.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's like Magneto, like, a borderline good guy in the show, not... Like, classic Magneto would probably kill everybody,
mm-hmm.
or try to kill everybody, at least, until he's stopped by the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
So, not quite the murderous terrorist that we know him from the comics.
This Fabian guy's kind of getting all the wrong messages from Magneto.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are they the Acolytes?
Oh,
does that ring a bell? I don't know what Fabian his team or Magneto's accolades or something.
Sure.
It just, we've done no research. So we counted our fan group to fill us in on the details. But, it's interesting. Magneto's got a lot of, he attracts a lot of extremists to his cause.
Mm-hmm.
So Fabian and his group is, like, another example of that. Pretty interesting. They free the humans. I mean, not the humans. Why do I keep saying humans? They free the mutants. Another interesting comment. Fabian refers to all the humans as flat scans.
Yeah, what is that?
I guess the point is, like, if you're a human and you're doing a DNA chart, your scan is relatively flat, whereas if you're a mutant, it's jumping off the scale. I take it pretty literally that it's some kind of weird, like, medical distinction that must be, like, if your child born at birth, the way they can tell it's a mutant baby is if it's like, line is not flat.
Okay. I'll go with that.
I mean, I don't know. Like, what else could it be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So then, Magneto supercharged. He's able to fly all the spaceships to Asteroid M. It's pretty cool and dramatic. They arrive on Asteroid M. Gambit meets his pal Byron, who's another sort of like swampy Cajun guy, it seems. Mm-hmm. A lot of green-haired people on the station, purple-haired people. You know, mutants are cool. They've got really, like, they're so mutated that they're just bursting with neon colors.
Yeah.
You know, immediately right away, like, Professor X notices that Magneto's being drugged by this Fabian guy.
Right.
Well, not actually drugged.
Well, that's like his metaphor.
Like a drug.
Right.
Yes. Right. Because Fabian, like, charges up his superpower so Magneto can do all these, like, extra strength feats that he wouldn't be able to do otherwise, and Professor X is like, oh, he's going to be addicted to this power, this recharge.
Yeah. So another layer of subtle metaphors, we get drug addiction. Like, kids, this is what show's cool. It's just like everything. They throw it at the wall. It's all kind of logical. It sticks in 22 minutes, and, you know, it flies by. Like, they do a good job of summarizing really heavy themes in a palatable, bite-sized way for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still impressed in 2018 by the writing of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys. Giving me all sorts of eyebrows. And
it's eyebrows of agreement, don't worry.
Yeah. Okay, good. And then another backstory, Professor X, more love tales.
Yeah.
This woman, Amelia, you want to talk about her, Dad?
She can't drop a turkey leg without running into one of his side pieces.
All his tragic romances.
All over the corners of the globe.
Yeah. Really, it really brings back...
That's like a rogue saying you just made right there.
Can't drop a gator in a cup of gumbo without...
Yeah.
So true, though.
So, like, this is where we get into episode order problems, because we saw a glimpse of Amelia in an earlier episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where we see the origin of the X-Men, and here, again, more reused footage. Amelia was Professor X's nurse after he got paralyzed with Dash, as you noted. She said...
Yeah, after battling Magneto.
Right, but in the previous episode we saw, it seemed like he got paralyzed because he was, like, a Korean War veteran.
Right, yeah.
So, it's like... And Professor X, like we've discussed, the real comic reason he's paralyzed is so even stupider. He got into a fight with an alien named Lucifer in, like, 1963. You know what I mean? Like when Stan Lee was writing it.
And, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, like, even way stupider. I mean, like, the retconning of his being paralyzed is always interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think traditionally the retcon is it's from some encounter with Magneto, and that's what we see in the movies.
Maybe he was battling it out with Magneto during the Korean War.
No, well, it's funny you say that, because we've seen a lot of backstories of Professor X up to this point.
Yeah.
And there is one where their partner, he meets Magneto after a war, and they're both scientists, and they're trying to heal, right, like, a destroyed country using their power secretly. That's how they meet. But Professor X isn't in a wheelchair then. He's walking upright.
Mm-hmm.
So... here it would make more sense if they had a subsequent battle where he got paralyzed, but it doesn't make sense in the episode we saw previously when we met Amelia, where it's like he was just fighting in a war. So it's just, it's a little confused, but that, hey, that's the X-Men.
Yeah.
You know, like,
a little confused.
Yeah. Yeah, but the reassuring thing is that someone can always untangle these threads.
Yeah.
Some X-Men super fan out there that can do these things. So someone can take a shot at this. X-Men cartoon. You're right, yeah, not us. So Amelia, she's like a redhead, beautiful, kind of looks like Jean Grey. She was with Professor X after his injury. She saw the formation of the original X-Men. Again, we see this old footage.
She helped rehabilitate him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why they break up, it's kind of like, I'm still confused about it.
Well, she says, you don't have room in your life for both the X-Men and me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's pretty clear, no?
But she's also a mutant, it turns out, which wasn't revealed previously.
Yeah.
And you would think that... And now she's, like, in this Fabian Cortez acolyte group that seems, like, way more extreme than the X-Men were. And and there's just like,
but it's about like,
what's her motivation?
She like had a relationship with Professor X and wasn't getting what she needed out of the relationship, clearly, because all of his attention was going to the X-Men.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas now, like, she's a member of this other group, and like, we don't know, whatever, if she has romantic interest here or not.
We haven't seen it yet.
Seems like not. Well, so
she's still pissed at Professor X too. She still harbors those angry feelings. It's just, it's something bizarre. It reminds me of the Polaris Iceman story we saw too, where they were both X-Men, and Iceman quits the group because he didn't like that Polaris was constantly in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes along with him at first, but then she fakes her own death because she realized she wants to kind of be an X-Man and put her life in danger. And instead of just telling Bobby, right, instead of just telling Iceman, I'm leaving you because of this, she fakes her death and falls in love with another guy, Havoc. So, I mean, it's like similar to that too in a weird way, and it's also, I don't know, the movies kind of confuse the issue too, because they make it seem that Moira was the Amelia character in a weird way. But although in the movies, Professor X mind erases Moira against her will because he doesn't think he can have a relationship with her because he has to devote all his time to the X-Men and sends her on his way.
Right.
And regrets it later and then casually mind wipes her, and she seems to be cool with it.
Nice.
At the end of X-Men Apocalypse. So that was weird too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we get a lot of Moira backstory in the
Proteus episodes. I think that's where we saw Amelia.
Yeah.
Oh no,
maybe.
Was it? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Bottom line, Professor X has really lived a life.
Yeah. Still is.
Yeah. And then we get to the famous, like, also like Magneto's like got some humans on his asteroid that Fabian's not happy about, some astronauts. Are those the cosmonauts in question?
I guess so. Because that first cosmonaut at the beginning, he just sort of haphazardly got sucked onto asteroid M.
Oh, right,
like
okay.
A magnet accident or something.
I think I blinked and missed that, so thanks for filling us in.
Yeah, no.
And then, so Magneto's hosting a dinner, and he is quite ostentatious in his, like, glory here. He's wearing a silk white and red kimono.
Mm-hmm.
Open, full nips on display.
Yep.
And, you know, he's got
the full cheese grater on.
Yeah, like hairy, muscular chest. I mean, he is ripped to the nines. Like, really amazing. He must be working out, you know.
He must be proud of it, too, because he's, like, at this dinner party with, like, 2 dozen people or something.
Yeah.
Just from what I know about from television, that if you're a man that has an insanely chiseled, like, stomach and pecs, you are want to wear clothing that, you know, be it tank tops. We were just watching White Men Can't Jump yesterday, and Wesley Snipes was wearing the most, like, how would you describe this tank top, Sonia?
It was like the neck and arm holes were all really stretched out. Like, he may as well just have not been wearing a shirt.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It was like a loose mankini.
Yeah.
That goes down, like, the hoop of the shirt goes down right above his waist.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, almost all just the, like, the...
It's just two straps, basically.
Right, two,
like,
straps.
Two very loose suspenders.
Right, and you get the
nice.
Full view of his...
I'm in.
I just feel like I'm not a man such as that. Like, I just feel like you've worked to that level. You probably are trying to show it off. It's better than a shirt, you know? It's like,
yeah.
A shirt can't convey, like, the work you've put into your body, probably, so... You know, it's cool, I guess. But douchey, obviously. I don't know. So Magneto, he's in that camp of douche bros. Of and then, like, some business happens. There's some satellite drones attacking the asteroid.
Yeah, 12 hours is up.
Yeah, right. And, but Professor X did not have, like, a sand hourglass. Like, he was not checking it to make sure the time was running out. But it's actually, they were launched in response to a missile attack.
That's right.
Magneto did not order. So now there's a power struggle on the asteroid. And I like that it's like they didn't, like, it's obvious that Fabian is a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
That his power of restoring Magneto is a drug. It has negative consequences.
Yep.
It's obvious that they're going to butt heads. I like that this all resolved quickly. That they're not, like, teasing it out. Like we're idiots,
no.
You know. So Fabian's kind of led an insurrection. And he uses his reverse power on Magneto, which has the effect of, like, Back to the Future when the timeline is being unspooled.
Oh, right.
Like, Marty McFly's hand is disappearing during the guitar solo.
That's right, yeah. He saps him so much of his power that he will literally disappear from existence.
He says his molecule, he won't be able to keep his own molecules together.
Right.
So once you see Magneto's hand fading in and out of existence, I think that, like, in the real world, you would be instantly dead.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's just one body organ, because the blood would come gushing.
He's got to start playing Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah. Yeah, or what was the other song? You know, Earth Angel. Maybe a little more appropriate. So Magneto's in a lot of trouble. The X-Men arrive. There's a distress signal going out in the station. The X-Men arrive first, which allows Cortez to conveniently blame the X-Men that they've killed Magneto.
That's right.
Also, did he, like, eject Magneto's, like, bachelor pad into space, too? Yeah. Right, okay.
The whole dome. It's out there.
Right, yeah. His bachelor dome has been launched into space, so no one can get to Magneto and see what the real deal is. So Fabian's instituted a real, like, double cross, takes over the station, and, blames the X-Men, and that's where the episode ends, on a cliffhanger. Yeah. So, right, I mean, a lot of exposition, but, like, really cool, great episode, I'd say. I give it, like, 5 Magneto energy bubbles.
5 Magneto spheres out of 5.
Yeah, 5 Magneto spheres. 5 Polish pronunciations of Magneto. Sonia, your thoughts on this episode are on racism and bigotry in general.
Yeah. Slavery pro or...
let's get back to the topic of Israel as a metaphor for mutant rights.
That one didn't go over well.
It took me a second to think about it, but you were absolutely spot on. It wasn't controversial to go there. But, please.
Really felt a certain type of way about that. Yes, 5 out of 5 Magneto bubbles. I think we keep talking about these episodes through season 3 and 4, like, oh, they can't top this. Like, we know season 5 is going to be all downhill, but, you know.
It's been good.
Yeah,
it's been really
great.
Good.
We're not there yet, so
I brought my
I'm
own bias
it.
To it that I thought, like, it was all going to go downhill, but it's not. It's really been hanging in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any other thoughts on Magneto's kimono?
Sweet kimono.
Yeah, do you like kimonos in general? Like, we don't own any.
I guess, yeah, they look...
Do you want a kimono?
I mean, I'm not going to wear one at a dinner
party. Let me ask you a question. What is the occasion for wearing a kimono? It's not like a bathrobe after, a shower.
A kimono?
Like,
no,
is it after
Japanese
shower?
Clothing.
Oh, okay. But it's not like... Is it like pajamas? Like Japanese pajamas?
No, it's like clothes. Like,
okay.
Like street clothes.
Well, it just seems like casual, like after, like dinner clothing to me. You're saying it's street clothes.
It's just clothes.
Oh, okay.
I think often...
I mean, there's like casual ones and like fancy ones depending on like how fancy the material is that it's made out of and like, you know.
I just always assumed it as like a very casual home wear.
No, it's street clothes.
Okay, I'm just basing it off of my knowledge of pop culture, where I feel like rich characters have them and they're like in their private study smoking a cigar after the day is done plotting their next evil day.
Well, isn't that an article of clothing? Like a smoking...
Okay, there's smoking jackets.
A smoking jacket.
Mm-hmm. Smoking jackets is like the American... Oh no, probably more like British. It's like the British kimono. You have bathrobes, which I don't think... to me, I thought they were in the same category. I guess not. It is the same, a bathrobe. It's similar. It's like a trench coat with a belt.
Nope.
why are you both shaking your heads? It's like the same principle, right?
In that it's like one article of clothing that you like wrap to clothes.
Well, there's a belt, and it's a clothing... It's a jacket that goes to the floor with an opening, with no buttons.
Okay.
Similar to a smoking jacket.
But a kimono doesn't
buttons.
Have, like, a belt. It's, like, a whole, like, huge, thick, wide piece of fabric. Like, when you, like, tie a kimono closed, like, it really stays closed.
I thought it was, like a karate belt.
No. No, like, you don't, like, go about your day and, like, keep your kimono.
Do you think it's fair that I included trench coats in the kimono discussion?
No.
It's not the same.
No, that's a jacket. You have other clothes on underneath.
A kimono looks like a jacket to me. It's like a cape jacket.
No.
All right. All right. Come on now, guys.
Dash, your rating and your thoughts on...
Yeah, I give it 5 out of 5 crotch communicators. It's great. All
right, good. Any other thoughts on racism or...
No.
All right, good. By the way, this is our last episode. All right, that's all I got for this episode, personally. Dash, it's great having you always. Will you come back next week?
I'll see what I can do.
You'll go into our closet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Emollify yourself and then emerge from your cocoon to talk more about the X-Men.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, good. So it's not our last episode. We'll carry on. We'll try again.
One more.
Okay. All right. So, plugs time. I'll plug my stuff first. Follow me on Twitter, @WillieSimpson. Join the X-Men Task Podcast Facebook group if you haven't deleted your Facebook account because of them stealing your personal identity, selling it to God knows
sucker
who.
Sucker nerds going before Congress next week. This might be null and void.
Right, yeah, way to destroy my Facebook community, Mark Zuckerberg. And also, rate us 5 stars on iTunes. I also no longer have any Apple products, so I have no way of checking the reviews, but I assume you're all still out there listening, so thanks. That's all I got. Dash?
My band, Secretary Legs, put out our album.
Great album.
It's called Cool Myths, thank you. It's on Sniffling Indie Kids Records, and you can get it at secretarylegs.bandcamp.com. Find it on Spotify, or come to a show. Find us on all the social medias. Secretary Legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonia, what do you have to plug?
Nothing right now. That's it.
Okay, cool. How about Legion Season 2?
Yep. I'll put in an endorsement for that.
All right, excellent. Let's keep supporting more, like, copyrighted, like, corporate things here.
Yeah, yeah.
Branded stuff, like...
Yeah. Check it out on Hulu.
Yeah. Yeah, we still support Hulu, despite them taking off the one show we cover. That's it. So, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.